that will be unforgiveness. Let's not mix it with that area and strive and unforgiveness in our own heart. But here is talking about area where it's directly demonic. And of course, when human beings quarrel, and when sometimes churches quarrel, and ministers quarrel, and Christians quarrel, they tend to call each other the devil, right? And try to cast out devil out of each other. You ever seen that? You know, one side is praying, it's like, God, we bind that demon over there. And you go and join this prayer meeting, they're binding the demon over there, right? Well, bless God, they're helping each other. And so imagine when they're coming together, they'll be saying, come out in Jesus' name. And the other guy says, you come out in Jesus' name. Now, what's going to happen? They're casting demons out of each other. No, there's no demon. It's just a human being quarreling. Imperfect Christians quarreling. And let's not apply this verse wrongly. And I believe that we need to learn how to exercise love and tolerance. It's not talking about mere idiosyncrasies or habits and character, but here only and only of the first category, you completely have nothing to do with them. You completely have nothing to do with them. And he says, don't even greet them, don't even bring them into your house, because it's demonic. And if don't bring them into the house means that we won't bring anything that is associated with the devil, satanic things, and any satanic books or anything should not even come into the house. All these are inclusive. And we need to look at it carefully. Anything that has a completely wrong demonic source needs a line to be drawn. And so that gives us some balance. Otherwise, you apply it wrongly. It's only the first category. It has nothing to do with the second and third category. Third category, just a divisive person. You still got to meet the person, admonish it, then only avoid. Praise God. And then we look at the conclusion here in verse 12 and 13. It says, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Did you notice the end result of all these things? That our joy may be full. And I want to emphasize that word joy. Because a lot of people, when they claim to be walking in the truth, we have the truth, we are the church, but they're all miserable, don't have joy. That cannot be the truth. Right? And there's some churches that claim to be the church. We are the church. We don't cut our hair. Women don't wear jeans. Women cannot cut their hair. Men cannot wear hairs. We are the church. And everybody is miserable. My question is, what happened to the joy of the Lord? And I remember the verse in the book of Romans 14 where it says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace and joy. So if the kingdom that you have doesn't have joy, I'm not sure whether it's the kingdom of God or kingdom of man. If it's the kingdom of God, there's liberty and there's joy. It's not just all these things that we are teaching can easily be taken by anyone with a Hitler type of attitude. A man with a controlling spirit, a man or woman with a controlling spirit and try to dominate people. That's not the way it should be taken. The test, which, thank God, when we deal with wrong doctrine, people forgot about joy. I have seen churches quarrel, fight, fast, and play politics in the church. Use voting to throw one another out. And the one thing I noticed, they don't have joy. But the one that is right will have the joy. You can do everything you want, throw mud, throw rotten eggs. And the person will be exactly like Stephen. And their face will just be like angels. And they just this. Of course, they won't be having the silly clown smile that say, right? Like Garfield. Mischievous grin. No. It is the Stephen type. that we talk about in the book of Acts. Better give scriptures for all these things, right? And we're speaking about the one in the book of Acts. In chapter 7, as they confronted Stephen in all those things, Stephen made his great speech in chapter 7, but look at chapter 6 as they confronted him. Verse 15. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. I have been in many places, many churches, and I see strife happening, everything, but the joy of the Lord is not there. The peace and the rest of the Lord is not there. So that's a final fruit and test that we need to take note of. That the end result of being right is being joyful. A lot of people who emphasize doctrine, emphasize like the fundamentalists. Now, I'm a fundamentalist because I accept the Bible as it is. Don't try to change it. Accept it as the Word of God. But the fundamentalists who don't have the Holy Ghost and end up going against everything. I mean, when Billy Graham wanted to come here many years ago, the fundamentalists raised a hue and cry here itself. Spread papers about him. Spread leaflets against him. Billy Graham, one of the best gentlemen in the kingdom of God. Even he can have enemies. I mean, if Jesus can have enemies, everyone can have enemies. But they don't see what's their purpose. And they are so concerned about being right that they forgot the end result of being right is being righteous and joyful. That's what God wants. God doesn't want us to be so streamlined and what I call it, ecclesiastically correct. I couldn't use the word doctrinal because everyone has to be doctrinally correct. But sometimes we are ecclesiastically correct, but doctrinally incorrect. And we are miserable, we lose our joy. Because one thing, you cannot box joy. You cannot organize joy. You cannot denominate joy. Because joy comes from freedom and fellowship with God, of whom the scripture says in his presence is fullness of joy. Tears came only when the fall came, but in his presence every tear is wiped away. We may cry and be touched in his presence, but in your heart you feel that joy. So don't forget the conclusion of 2 John, that when we deal with all these issues, that his joy may be full in our lives, is the test of true Christianity. Love, peace and joy. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you that as we consider these aspects, O Lord, in the last days, the things that we confront, decisions that we have to make, and the sure mercies of David, we ask, O God, that you would establish us on a sure footing, the footing of the Word of God. And that you cause us to rise in our Christian life into the dominion that you have for the church, the kingdom of God. Lord, not a natural kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom that will bless every nation in the world. That we will become a blessing to society, Lord. That we will become a blessing to all peoples in all lands. That our righteousness will shine. And we will be the moral fiber and framework for every nation, Lord. For we will speak of the things and the goodness of the Lord. And Father, we pray that you cause us to be the salt of the earth, that will cause righteousness to come forth and morality to increase wherever we are, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you cause each one of us to be a shining light here for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Let's rise together in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. Praise God. God bless you, and see you again the next week. Amen.